Trust in the Lord, Bishop Thorpe B. Isaacson, Thorpe B. Isaacson, Conference Report, October 1956, pages 10-13, President McKay, President Richards, President Clark, my dear brothers and sisters and friends of the radio and television audience, I wish every person in this vast congregation could stand here and look at this beautiful sight, with the background of these beautiful singing mothers. I humbly pray that I may have an interest in your faith and prayers, that I shall say nothing that will detract from the beautiful addresses that we have already listened to. There is great strength that comes to those who attend the sessions of the General Conferences of the Church, or to those who listen to them over radio and television. Those who read the conference messages will be strengthened in their faith because these conferences, in the planning of them, everything that is said and done here is done under the inspiration of God, our Eternal Father. You must know, of course, that we come to you very humbly, full of love, prayerful, and dependent upon the Lord. I would like to use as my theme for a few moments verses 5 and 6 from the third chapter of Proverbs. My reason for deciding upon this theme is that recently I have had contacts with a few young men, fine young men, who for one reason or another have been confused. Teachers have disturbed them, and they were seeking counsel. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That is the best advice that I could give to any person who may be disturbed. I think to follow the course would give us the answer to any problem or any sorrow or any disturbance with which we may now or later be confronted. Lean not unto thine own understanding. That scripture reminds me, if I may inject it without being misunderstood, of the proceedings at the inauguration nearly 4 years ago of President Dwight D. Eisenhower, where he bowed his head and prayed because he felt the need for divine aid and guidance. That same course has been followed by other great leaders. In fact, as I have tried to study great men, I could not find one who has not followed that same practice. This was even true of Jesus, the Son of God, as he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. It was my pleasure to stand there a couple of years ago, in Jerusalem, and when I think now of the Garden of Gethsemane on the outskirts of Jerusalem, I think of the place where Jesus, the Son of God, went to pray. He did not lean on his own understanding, but there he went, not once, but on many occasions, seeking strength from his Father. This was particularly true the night before his crucifixion when he desired to be blessed and sustained by his Father to go through the ordeal that was to face him on the morrow. Our beloved prophet Joseph did not lean on his own understanding. No, he went into the sacred grove to seek divine guidance. As I stood on the banks of the Susquehanna River some months ago, I could not help thinking of the visit that Joseph and Oliver made to the banks of that river when they needed divine guidance, and they could not lean on their own understanding. They went to that secluded place close to his home where they, too, knelt down on their knees and asked God to reveal his will unto them, and he sent a heavenly messenger, John the Baptist, to deliver his message. Lean not unto thine own understanding. I have always felt bad to think that that great organization as we know it, the United Nations, composed of representative leaders throughout the world studying and planning and trying to solve the problem of a just and everlasting peace, do not open their sessions with prayer. A man who attended that session once reported to me that he went away from there sad. There was confusion, there was anger, there was disagreement. There had been no petition to the Lord asking for divine guidance, and yet the very peace of the world largely hinges on that great body of men, because some disbelieve and some will not admit divine guidance. We are denied the blessings that would result if that very important group of men would call upon the Lord for inspiration and guidance. What would our founding fathers think of that? Our pioneer fathers, our pilgrim fathers, and those who formed the constitution of this land? They did not lean on their own understanding. I hope the leaders of the nations of the world will change that policy in the United Nations and lean not on their own understanding. Recently, as I was traveling in an airplane headed for Texas, and as the luncheon tray was served, there was a card on that tray, the first that I had ever seen, on which was inscribed, "For those who want to say, a table grace." I felt comforted to know that in traveling in a plane, someone had had the spiritual courage to understand and recognize that a table grace or prayer was appropriate on an airplane, and there were three prepared blessings. Then at the bottom were inscribed these words, "You may bow your head in prayer if you so desire." I thought how appropriate and what spiritual courage and faith the one who originated that idea possessed, and I noticed that around the plane, there were others who silently bowed their heads and thanked the Lord for the blessings and grace on that food. Recently I read an article, I do not recall the paper or magazine, It indicated a very encouraging religious trend in colleges and universities throughout the land. In our colleges and universities, there is a revival of religious training, and it is having a dynamic effect on the lives of the young people. There was a time in academic circles that one detected sneering at religion as an outworn superstition, but that is past. Courses in biblical literature, Christian ethics, and church history had almost disappeared from the curriculum, but that is changing. Many educators have detected that scoffing has now given way to very serious inquiry. Religion again is intellectually respectable and sound. Students and teachers have a growing disposition to seek faith in God, and they realize that the ultimate answers lie far beyond the reach of scientific research. Many of our large universities have now experienced a great growth in undergraduate study for religious courses, and many churches are now attracting crowds that overflow their meeting houses. Attendance at religious courses has doubled. Many colleges and universities now hold what they call a religious emphasis week, and specialists have found that 80% recognize the need for religious faith, and now there are very few who will admit atheism. Lean not on thine own understanding. Religion in all its forms is very popular and a significant topic in formal debates and common conversation by intelligent people today. In the educational world, the indifference long accorded religion has now given way. It was only in recent years that the study of theology was merely tolerated. Today it is almost a universal acknowledgement that the study of religion rightfully belongs to every person. That new interest in religion is widespread, and many have come to recognize that science alone cannot measure up to expectations in providing answers to the deepest questions of religion, and sometimes religion has something tremendous to say in the present world struggle. This change or revival is one of honest and intelligent inquiry, and students are approaching courses with open-mindedness. It would be well if all students would place religion first in their lives, and this would give them faith in living in the world today, as well as in tomorrow's world. The love of God and the seeking of His divine guidance will lend strength to the soul of every person. Yes, there is a divine spark in every man's soul that never wholly goes out. Religion plays a great part in the life of every soul. The cycle has now come around full turn. Perhaps once we may have doubted our faith, but now we have come to doubt our doubts. The church has been the fountainhead of good over the centuries, and its spiritual message of God's love for man has brought not only comfort and pureness of heart to men and women down through the ages, but it has also inspired them to the heights of achievement when they turn to God for strength. Young people, ask and it shall be given. Watch your thinking. Young people, do not let anyone disturb your thinking. There may be those who lack the faith of your forefathers. Remember, you are today where your thoughts have brought you. You will be tomorrow, and the next day, and every day where your thoughts will take you. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Keep your ideals. Ideals are like the stars. You cannot touch them with your hands, but like the mariner, you can use them for your guidance, and if you follow them, they will light the way, and you will reach your destination. But lean not on thine own understanding. Thank God for the religious purpose of the membership of the Latter-day Saint Church. I am grateful to God for His kindness and blessings unto me. I know that God lives. I know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I know that the prophet today, the president of the church, President David O. McKay, is God's servant on the earth. What a blessing he is to the people, and if we are ever in doubt in knowing what course we may follow, we need only stop for 1 second and ask one question of ourselves: what would the president of the church do in a similar position? God bless us with great faith, not with self-sufficiency, that we may not lean on our own understanding. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.